Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week for your eardrum place's pleasure. And my very special guests are from Joy Camp. Guys, welcome to the program.
Hey, Vinny. Thanks for having us, man.
Vinny!
Okay, so we've got two of you here. Introduce yourselves, man.
Cool. All right. My name is Benny.
I'm Kevin.
And we are the creators of Joy Camp.
Now, are you like me, in which case you thought, you know, there's times where you feel like somebody who's got the documents, and other times you feel like, you know what, life's really stressful. It's even more stressful learning every day about how I'm being exterminated. I need to have some fun.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was our thoughts exactly in creating Joy Camp, letting off some steam, having some fun with this devastating information.
All right. Well, technically, you're my competition then. Only competition that I've found so far.
And we're allies.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, well can you actually explain the story? Is there like a story, you know, like how Joy Camp actually got rolling?
Yeah. Sort of. Well, first, this little event called 9/11 occurred.
And, have you heard of it? Have you heard about 9/11?
Yeah, it was about 12 years ago.
It rings a bell.
Yeah, some buildings fell down for a reason that was led to believe that was by terrorists and airplanes. Didn't really make sense, and we didn't buy into it. And it sort of led us down this never-ending rabbit hole. And for about 8 or 9 years, we were traveling down that rabbit hole and not really knowing what to do with the information, but all the while still enjoying life and having a good time and laughing about life. And then we stumbled upon Joy Camp. We decided to turn our information into comedy and make it hopefully accessible to people who were, you know, looking for a lighter way to absorb information.
And I just remember watching one of your recent videos, I think, called Suicided. It was funny.
Yeah.
We wanted to do that one for a while because we figured if we put that video out, that it's proof that we'll never kill ourselves. So we're covering
Facts. Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know what it is. How do comedians actually deal with this problem? Because I found that I've been looking at comedians all over the place, you know, like Carlin, Bill Hicks, and so many others that tend to be really cynical bastards at the end of the day, and that's what comedians really are. They're cynical people who see through to the truth of things and attempt to make other people laugh because they've kind of lost it to a large degree.
Yeah, true. That's a good point.
Very true.
Yeah, we're actually not.
What is that?
I think, you know, I've never really thought about that, but now that you're saying it, maybe it has to do with the lack of community that they had when they were in their prime. I mean, I think that the internet has really brought us together, and we're able to connect with other like-minded people much easier than they were. I mean, Bill Hicks was doing it all by himself with no support, and he probably didn't have that many people to talk to who were of the same mindset.
Yeah, and then you look at, like, Lenny Bruce or something, and that guy who was doing it years before anyone else, he got run out of the business. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with his story, but that guy's story, he was on this rise to fame preaching messages that people hadn't really heard before, and they shut him down for it. He couldn't perform in a studio to save his life at the end of the day until his death. I mean, it's really one of those tragic stories you'd ever hear about a comedian. And he was out there doing the same thing. So times have changed a little bit. I admire those people. These are our heroes that you've named, right? I admire them because they did all this with just a microphone and a stage. And we have all these tools, you know, we have a camera and YouTube and all that. So the game has changed a little, and we're just trying to take advantage of the change.
As far as I'm concerned, those comedians have really paved the way for people like us. Essentially, they're not only our inspirations, but they've also softened up the general populace so that they can actually deal with this kind of comedy, because it's freaking dark. Really,
if you
strip back the smiles, you strip back the laughs, you strip back the satire, we're dealing about horrific torture and death.
Yeah, the most unfunny information available, and we're trying to make light of it.
Now, is that a form of alchemy? When you take what is horrible, suffering and dying, and you turn it into love and comedy,
spinning it into gold. Yeah, sure, it is. Yeah, comedy alchemy. Comedic alchemy.
Comalchemy.
It's a form of polygamy.
Yeah, polygamy.
Exactly. Same difference.
Yeah, two of my favorite things.
Yeah. I was coming up with some really lame jokes last night. You know why they call it Mossad? Because it ain't there to make you more happy.
There it is.
Beautiful. That's
time well spent.
Yes. It's what you call a depressed mustache. Mossad.
Oh, there it is. Good one.
Yeah, how late were you up thinking of those?
Yeah, I don't know. And another person was telling me about abalone. You know what abalone is? It's like some form of a barnacle crustacean thingy, apparently.
Yeah, I have an abalone shell, actually.
Yeah, apparently it's like $50 a pound. I didn't know what abalone was. I thought it was some kind of bologna that you can only buy with alimony. Mm-hmm. And it didn't... and apparently I'm not really all that keen to eat it anyway, bro, because of all the Fukushima radiation and stuff like that, you know? Unless the waiter's got a Geiger counter on him, you know, wave it over my food.
It's already cooked when it comes out of the ocean.
So you can't work like an abalone and cheese sandwich, or does that not work?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Apparently, if a fisherman tells a lie, it's somebody accuses them of telling abalone stories.
There it is. Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's a fact.
That is
a fact. Not a joke.
That's the first fact of the interview.
Yeah, exactly. We like to cover serious issues on this show.
Let's try to be
from
serious
time to time.
Yeah,
let's change it up today.
Yeah, we're gonna be very serious.
Yeah. Well, how old are you guys?
29. Both of us are 29.
Yeah, 29.
Okay. I'm 28 going on 29, so yeah. What is it about our age group, eh?
Fair enough.
So, yeah, we're older.
Yeah, we're in our, what is it called? Saturn return right now.
Ah. And have you still got a slave job, or are you doing this full time?
Well, it depends on what you call a slave job.
Mine I would call a slave job. Yeah, I would call mine a slave job. I have a slave job, but it's been good to me in a lot of ways. I got a lot of travel out of my job, and I work from home, right in that bedroom back there. So I spend a lot of time editing our videos while I'm working, which is kind of nice. And no one from my work is listening to this, so I can say whatever I want about it.
And my slave jobs, one of them is as a teacher at a middle school. I do arts at a middle school, and I'm an actor. So I'm kind of a slave to the show business industry in a way, willingly. But yeah, that's how I make my money.
Well, it's good that you've managed to pull your skills of your slave jobs and actually put it into something that's really worthwhile. And I don't know about you, but I haven't worked for anybody for what's it been like seven years or something since I became an activist filmmaker and things like that. And I feel like my listeners are my employers, really. They're the ones who fund the show and everything, so I've just got to do what they say.
But, yeah, I'm a terrible employee. I always have been. I like being my own boss.
I had to, man. That's the goal, you know. We're working our asses. Are we allowed to cuss on the show?
You're not allowed to cuss on the show.
Okay.
You can say ass, but you can't say you have to say BS instead of the other word. You have to say frack instead of the other word, or instead of the other word, you have to say Shiite Muslim.
Shiite Muslim.
All right.
Got it.
Well, I've been working my fracking Shiite Muslim off, trying to make this our full-time gig, and hopefully we'll get there soon.
Well, you know, sometimes you just got to take the plunge and just go, you know what, frack it. I'm going full-time right now, right here. And it's funny when that happens is because I've seen a lot of people do this. They've given up their job, even though they don't have any, you know, income or career stability at the time in order to do what they really want to do. And everything seems to work out for them.
Yep.
As an old Zen saying, leap and the net will appear.
Really? I've never heard that saying.
We have a magnet on our fridge with that on it.
Mm. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
And in terms of waking up, you know, you've you woke up due to 9/11. Who were your sources and your websites and blogs and things like that you first started going to?
Early on, it was David Icke, I think.
David Icke, Alex Jones were the obvious ones at the beginning, and also movies like Loose Change was big, really influential. I showed a lot of people that movie when I was in college. And then Zeitgeist also. These type of films were very influential to, you know.
Yeah, and then moving forward, we got into Max Egan very heavily still. I think that's how I heard you for the first time, was him being on your show. And
Red Ice Creations.
Red Ice Creations and Santos Padacci. And now we have a lot of friends now on the movement. Cameron Wiltshire, he's over at Sacred Geometry International. Mm-hmm. I think you're friends with him. He's a big, big supporter of ours, big help of us.
And Gnostic Media, Tragedy and Hope.
Richard Grove.
Yeah. So a lot of influences. And then, of course, personal research, books, and never a tireless, you know, never-ending quest for truth and understanding, as you know. Mm.
Now, it's not like the cool thing I like about this movement is there's not like one place to go. That's what I like. There's so many different perspectives, and I try to cover as many of those different perspectives on this show as humanly freaking possible. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about you, but I hate monotony. I hate hearing the same guests, the same hosts. All the time in the same mood. It just drives me nuts.
Yeah. And everybody else has something different to offer. So combined, we really create an unstoppable force when we align and, you know, collaborate and talk to each other, because everybody has information they can share.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of your own personal understandings, what are some of these things that have actually kind of really hit you about being in the truth movement and actually starting to meet all these truthers and people and actually becoming one of us instead of just one of the audience?
Right. Well, for me, and I'm sure speaking for Kevin also, it shows that we're on the right track. I mean, it shows that we're doing the right thing, because, I mean, one of the greatest gifts we've received as a result of forming Joy Camp are the people. We've been introduced to so many different people. It's just it's like instant confirmation and gratification, and in knowing that we're on the right track, because we are now involved with all these amazing, brilliant people.
Yeah, it was cool when we started doing this and we really went full steam with it, to send our work to people that we had been getting research from and following for years, and to see them share it on their Facebook pages and post it to their websites is a very proud, satisfying feeling to have, because you think, wow, I've admired you for years. I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing without you. And in turn, you're telling me how much you've enjoyed what I've done and the fruits of our labors. And it becomes this mutual respect. And it's all really boils down to the passion of seeking truth and turning that into a creative way to share with people.
Mm-hmm. And building community online.
It becomes a bit of a snowball effect after a while. You even noticed that?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's really nice to know that there's so many other people out there who are as passionate as we are and as dedicated to, you know, winning as we are.
Winning.
Winning. I actually met Charlie Sheen a few weeks ago, randomly.
You met Charlie Sheen a few weeks ago.
I did. I wanted to talk to him so bad about what happened, why he went from being a 9/11 truther to being some crazy guy on television, but it wasn't appropriate.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. I would have done it.
Yeah, then, I was auditioning for his show, so I had to be careful. Maybe they would have gotten me though. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah, well. I was born without a sense of shame, so, you know. Yeah,
fair enough, fair enough.
I could have done it. But, you know, sometimes it is that kind of that respectful thing, like, you know, I don't want to actually bother this person. You know, they've got their own life, they've got their own thing going on, and, you know, who am I to come up in them? I don't know them from a bar of soap, and, you know, a million other people could have seen them on TV and seen the same thing, and if they all came up to him and bothered him, it'd drive him nuts, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I just didn't want to, you know, it wasn't the right time or place. I mean, if I had, if it was a more intimate setting or if I was at a party or something, but it was at an audition and he was just walking through and I said hi, but I just couldn't bring myself to get too in depth with him.
Well, I don't know. Maybe the time will come.
Yeah, maybe so. Hopefully. That'd be amazing. I am really curious to know what happened there because he was on our side for a long time.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Well, I think the same thing happened to him that happened to Tila Tequila, happened to all of these other Hollywood celebrities that really come out and fully try and expose a new world order. Same thing that happened to Randy Quaid. Well, basically, they get an offer they can't refuse. And that's the sad truth of it, you know. Hollywood's run by a bunch of ruthless criminals, psychopathic, murdering pedophile scum. And if you start exposing the Illuminati, they'll come and get you. They'll destroy your career. They'll may have attempts on your life and so on and so forth. It's not a pleasant state of being. And so you just decide, you know what? Being alive is a hell of a lot better than telling the truth. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieExtraShow.com.
I got some so-called friends. I'll smile right to my face. All when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Who's that? Are you on?
Welcome back. I'm flying a jet. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I've got Joy Camp with me. And, we were talking over the break about the homeless problem in Los Angeles and indeed around America. Could you guys share a little bit about that?
Yeah, what we were just saying was, there's really no exact total. There's no one really wants to address it, but I think that lowest possible estimates, and I apologize if I'm inaccurate on this, is 32 million homeless people in America right now. 32 million and counting, obviously, every day. So yeah.
A lot of them in Los Angeles, that's for sure.
Yeah.
We had a homeless guy. Well, he had a van for a while before they took it away. But he was living outside of our apartment on our street for months. And they came and took his van away because it broke down. He was with his wife and a bunch of dogs. And they came and took it away from him when it wouldn't move anymore. And then they pitched up a tent. It was actually very ironic. I don't know if that's the right word, but he pitched a tent with his wife on the lawn of a church, which is right across the street from us. And he was there for maybe a couple more days before they finally swooped him up, and he was gone for a while after that, which is just interesting because it's, you know, a homeless man on the lawn of a church. Something very interesting about that imagery.
Well, and furthermore, you see homeless people out here in LA, and I'm sure all over, that are so skinny. I mean, they look like, you know, Holocaust victims. They are skin and bones, and people just look the other way. They just don't even pay attention. They just keep on walking.
And apparently a quarter of the homeless are veterans.
Right.
Yeah, well, the ones that aren't killing themselves.
Yeah, exactly. The ones that aren't committing suicide.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's one of the other epidemic. Okay. There's quite a few epidemics running in America right now simultaneously. Have you noticed? There's an epidemic of stupidity, an epidemic of scumbaggery, an epidemic of homelessness, an epidemic of cancer, an epidemic of foreign wars, an epidemic of taxes, an epidemic of suicide.
And language reduction.
Oh, yeah. Lol.
Lol.
Ignorance.
Exactly.
Don't forget that.
LMAO.
What I don't get is when people actually say the word lol in person instead of actually laughing.
Right. Welcome to
1954. What the frick is that about, man?
You know.
Are you freaking kidding me? It's like, dude.
Thank you, Twitter.
George Orwell, we made it.
Yeah, we did it.
We did it, Orwell.
Prophecy fulfilled.
We're here.
Well, I think it was something that Einstein said. He said that when technology passes people's understanding of it, we will truly have a nation of idiots.
Yep.
Voila.
Pretty much.
Exactly.
There you go. But yes, a lot of epidemics. Long story short. Countless.
Now, is that what the what is there like a science or something where you study epidemics? Is it called epidemiology?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, should be. We'll coin it.
Epidemicology.
We'll start an online class.
No. It sounds more like a religion, doesn't it? You know, like maybe we could recruit Tom Cruise and John Travolta into their epidemiology.
Yeah. Can we charge money for it?
Yeah, we got to capitalize.
Well, you've got to charge money for it, bro. How could you even ask a question there?
I don't do anything unless there's money involved.
Yeah.
We're getting paid for this interview,
that's
right?
That's the source of all of my motivation in life.
Yeah, the dollar, yeah, the almighty dollar.
It's that powerful piece of paper.
Yeah. $50, bro. $50. That's all I need. And also, incidentally, what I find very interesting about money is that people actually think that their career is a means to an end. But what they don't get is that if they're working, all their money disappears into the pockets of the bankers. And so what the hell is the point in working for something that you can't accumulate because the bankers steal it from you?
Absolutely. Well, that is the primary reason why people are unwilling to ask bigger questions, I think, because they don't want to feel like their career and everything they're working towards means nothing. Once they start questioning reality, they start questioning their own lives, and they don't want to think that all that they're working towards is ultimately unimportant or irrelevant.
Did you guys suffer that massive depression / anger stage when you first wake up and you realize everything is BS?
Absolutely, man. Yeah, of course. Yeah, it was. I was luckily in graduate school for the most part during all this, so I was really distracted by my classes and my schooling. But yeah, it was a very isolating experience. I mean, it was. I didn't really have many people to talk to, and I would get into a lot of fights also because I was so passionate about the information I was learning. I wanted to tell people, and then I would be communicating from an emotional place, they'd be reacting from an emotional place, and we weren't getting anywhere. And if anything, I was distancing myself even further from them as a result. So yeah, definitely went through that angry phase. I had to figure out how to communicate.
It took almost 10 years really to figure out how to communicate at least an effective way that we've been doing now, because we did spend a lot of time, you know, we tried the street corners and the bullhorns and the signs and the MySpace pages
and arguments
and the arguments, vicious arguments with friends and family and, you know, fathers and to no effect, really, to no end. It was just a repetitive circle. They had their perspective and we had ours, and there was no commonality between the two. There was no common ground between the two. And it took many, many years to figure out that there is effective ways to communicate with people, and our talent and our skill lies in comedy. And we realized that the power of comedy, how you can communicate messages with people. I tell the story all the time about my dad and not being able to communicate with him about worldly issues. He's a very proud liberal. I grew up in a very proud liberal family, surrounded by very proud conservatives, you know, aunts, uncles, grandparents, all that. So I kind of got both sides of that pyramid spectrum, right? The left and the right.
Have you ever noticed that if you tell the truth, you offend both sides of every argument?
Yes.
Because both sides are very rarely telling the truth?
Yes. And you ever also noticed how both sides of their arguments are always rooted in the foundation that your side is screwing me? Always. This is what happens when your side is in power, is I lose this, lose that, lose this. And then it's the same argument the other side just replace whatever candidates are running for president.
And they fail to realize that all that's happening is they're arguing with their neighbors. They're arguing with the guy across the street and getting mad at their peers, rather than actually looking up top and seeing and noticing or actually paying attention to the fact that nothing really changes no matter who, you know, who the president is, Republican, Democrat. I mean, look at the truth seekers – or whatever you want to call them, during Bush's administration, we were called radical liberals, radical left. And now in Obama's administration, we're called radical right. I mean, it just flips back and forth.
Well, the thing is, our message hasn't changed, just the labels people put on us changes.
Of course.
Exactly. Yeah. Conspiracy theorist. Yeah. That's our favorite, right?
I love that. And in fact, I actually wear that as a badge of honor. I'm a proud conspiracy theorist, because my definition of a conspiracy theorist is somebody who believes that powerful people who have a lot of influence actually use their power to maintain or grow their influence.
True that.
Wow, I like that. That's good. Well done.
And if you're not a conspiracy theorist, then you're a coincidence theorist.
Right.
And you think that everything happens by accident. There's no such thing as lies. There's no such thing as scumbaggery. There's no such thing as backroom deals. There's no such thing as bribery. It doesn't exist. And everything just happens by sheer coincidence.
Right. And then they come back at you and say something like, well, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Oh, why don't you leave?
Oh, that's my favorite. If you don't love it, leave it.
Or things have always been this way. That's my favorite.
Yeah, you think too much.
Oh, yeah, I love the one. But we only just are hearing about this now because of our new scientific breakthroughs and things like this. It's actually always been there, you know, like the cancer excuse, you know. Right. Like 1 in 2 or 1 in 3 people are getting cancer now, and they're saying, oh, everybody used to get cancer back in the day. It's just we didn't detect it before. It's like, no, 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 you freaking you don't even have the evidence to back up your own argument. Just shush.
Yeah, read a book.
Read a book. Watch a documentary. In fact,
subscribe to Joy Camp.
Yeah, even better.
Yeah.
And also, how exactly are you guys planning to make money off your thing? Because, you know, are people donating? Can people go to you? Have you got a website? Well,
we've had a couple of donations, which is very flattering. And hopefully we'll be able to grow more to where that, you know, we'll find ourselves in a situation like what you're doing, where you said that the donators are sort of funding what you do to keep moving forward. And we operate off of nothing over here. You know, we really do. We stretch a really long way.
And well, you have to in this movement.
You do. Because obviously
the bankers take the rest.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
Well, we're also currently a finalist in the Alex Jones Operation Paul Revere film contest, and the grand prize is $100,000. We're not holding our breath, but, you know, any kind of situation like that we can get ourselves in is beneficial. And, you know, we're trying to figure it out any way possible.
Yeah, exactly. And we realize that we may be faced with challenges when it comes to money and the business side of things, but we're ready to take those head on. And whatever it takes to, you know, to make this thing full time all the time is what we all want. Ultimately is the end game for us.
And have you heard of George Heminger, Survive and Thrive TV? He's in your area.
George Heminger? No, I never heard that name. So. I'm gonna write that down.
Yeah. I can put you in touch with him. He's good friends with my former producer, Mitch, who's now also in LA, and I'll hook you up with them as well.
Yeah,
he's producing the Hagman and Hagman Report at the moment, one of Blog Talk Radio's most popular shows, I think, on iTunes. You really do have to link up with people, and particularly in your area. And that's what I found out when I first started off is I'll go to protests and things like this, and it was mostly just commies who go to protests. And they're all against. It's funny. They're against the establishment, but at the same time, they're against conspiracy theorists.
How
does that work? Because if you're against conspiracy theorists, it means you're pro-establishment at some point.
Right. Conspiracy theorists. People who ask questions. Conspiracy theorists.
Yeah. Well, people who demand answers are conspiracy theorists, you know. Any douchebag can ask questions, but it takes a conspiracy theorist to actually really want the answers.
That's true. Good point.
Even though those answers are really enraging, really depressing, mean that you lose most of your friends, mean that your family ridicules you, means that you can't work anymore because you become employophobic, and so on and so forth. There are huge amounts of consequences to this.
Right, and also the information never stops. And once you decide to be an open mind and you go down, for lack of a better term, the rabbit hole, it doesn't end. Like, it just keeps going. I mean, it'll take you back 40,000 years into the past trying to figure out this stuff. So it is it's a large task to take on, a large burden in a way to take on. But liberating at the same time, very important point to stress. It's liberating to pull that plug out of your brain.
Yeah, all those things that we just said and listed are heavy and they're hard to deal with, but it makes you stronger as a person every single day that you learn truth about something. And it makes your life better in turn, I think, as a whole. Some days can be depressing, but as a whole, man, your life will get better. I really believe that.
And you know what? Ignorance is not bliss. That's the big misconception. You know, I would never in a million years change to go back the way I was before now, because ignorance means you take antidepressants. Ignorance means you are a cog in the system, that you are walking around aimlessly, not knowing what your purpose is in life. I would rather take being, you know, awake and have a challenging road ahead than being ignorant and being unhappy.
My philosophy is if you don't suffer because of learning something, then you haven't really learned anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Or more to the point, you haven't learned anything really important.
Yeah.
Most people will tell you that when they go through something hard in life, they are better as a person as a result of it. Or you'll hear things like, I wouldn't be where I'm at today had I not gone through that. And that fits right in line with taking the leap, you know, and to realizing that pretty much everything you've been taught your whole life is a complete lie. And now you want to take that giant leap that there's no turning back from to investigating who you are, where you come from, and why things are the way they are. And I feel like if you're a soul on this planet, it's your responsibility to do that. I mean, how could you spend an entire lifetime and never question who you are and where you come from and why you're here? I mean, really, like really deep down, look at it and think of it. How could you waste a life and do that? I couldn't.
And it doesn't take a genius to look around and see that everything is pretty messed up. I mean, this is a pretty backwards arrangement we have set up around us. I mean, it doesn't take too much critical thinking, just a little tiny bit of critical thinking to notice that everything is backwards and we are slaves to this system. It doesn't take much thought to figure that out.
And on that point, I think most people know that deep down. I really do. I think there's a lot of people out there that are going to refuse to listen to it no matter what. And you know what? Fine. Let them do that. That's their own choice, their own life, their own perspective. Forget about them. But most people out there in this, you know, 99%, you got the conspiracy theorists on one end and you got the predators controlling the world on the other. And then you got a big group of people right in the middle being manipulated. Those people, most of them, they know that there's something wrong. And to go back to our earlier point about how angry and frustrating it can be when you go through this, because you see how blind people are to what's going on. And all you want to do is help them and say, no, just look at the truth. Just see it. Please. I'm doing this to help you, not just me. And it's frustrating.
I want to help you, slave.
Yeah, exactly. Pick up, sheep. Come on. Live your life, man. So, you know, to that point.
Wake up, scum. All right.
Okay. I've learned that planting a seed for those people is much, much more effective than screaming at them. You know, I'll do that in my own apartment. Wake up, sheep. But in their face, you crack a joke or you say something, you plant a seed in their head, and you'll see that light bulb go off.
All right, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, as the ad break goes off. Back in a minute. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chain nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which is good for the economy because now everybody can get a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb, according to the Prime Minister, who used to work on Wall Street at the Federal Reserve in New York, and in charge of European bond and derivatives trade. How does this political game work? I don't. It is just like, are you a banker? Yes. Are you a scumbag? Yeah. Do you lie all the time? Yeah. You're in.
You're in. We like you. Here's the money.
You're our new CEO.
Here's more money.
Yeah.
He's got the right stuff.
Yeah. Do you have any empathy? No. Perfect. You're in.
Hey, and in fact, did you guys, you were actually in America during the 2008 frickin' presidential campaign. I was all the frack way over in New Zealand. And when it was over, even I had to drink tequila on air to get to like try and, you know, just, woosa, get that shitty white Muslim out of my system. Oh, God. Mm-hmm, oh, God. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a sad day. I everyone around me was really excited on election day, and I just had a sinking feeling. I felt so unhappy, and everybody was getting mad at me. They're like, "Oh, come on, Benny, just cheer up, enjoy it." I'm like, "Yeah, really happy.
Change is coming, guys.
Cheer up. Talk about pushing Shiite Muslim uphill, man."
It was so, and it wasn't like I wanted. What's his? Who ran against him? Oh, McCain. I wasn't happy. I wouldn't want him, but I was just so upset. It was just a sad day.
Yeah. See, in New Zealand, McCain is a brand of frozen vegetables. Ah, McCain, you've done it again. And I found very strange about the elections was that people actually believed both sides, right? They actually believed that McCain was who he said he is, that Obama was who he said he is. And it just, it was so infuriating to see the lies on both sides being believed by everybody and then believing that they've, they're actually making a choice based upon a reasonable analysis of the situation when it's 99.99999% lies. I mean, what's his name? Is his name even true? Is it Barry Satoru, Barack H. O'Barry, Obama? What the hell is his actual name? Is that even true? Is that? I mean, come on.
I'm pretty sure his moniker is Big Brother. Pretty sure. I think he's the face of Big Brother. I've come to believe.
Mm-hmm. This is Big Bro taking over the show. And I've got this feeling, Ryan, that the people of the United States have just had enough. You ever get that feeling?
On some days.
Yeah, not as much as I'd like, but I hope so. That's the goal.
And then you see videos like Mark Dice going around asking people these questions and calling them zombies and so on and so forth. And I was wondering, you know, is he doing that for a reason, or is he just frustrated that people are stupid enough that they don't know what's going on, and he's just going out there out of frustration, like the sort of renewed anger and frustration that we all felt when we first woke up, and he seems to have not gotten over it, and he blames it. It's a funny thing. It is a poor shepherd that blames his flock, and I think that's the problem with a lot of us in this movement, is that we blame the sheep for what the shepherd is telling them to do.
Well, see, you've obviously had Max Egan on your show many times, because that's kind of his philosophy is what I usually default to. It's very easy to yell sheep and to yell slave, and maybe sometimes in your own bedroom with your own friends that are aware, it's healthy to get it out of you. But at the end of the day, Max Egan always says it best, you know, there's billions of people on this planet and billions of perspectives on this planet, and everybody's got their own at the end of the day. And you can scream and call them sheep as much as you want, but how effective are you really being when it's done? Because ultimately, we need those sheep. We need those slaves if we ever want to get out of this prison that we're in. So I feel like it's much more beneficial for your own personal health and for the health of the community and the movement to realize, to extend a hand rather than to shout slave.
I do think that's correct, and I found it actually makes you feel better to help people rather than run people down.
Yeah.
And people, isn't it a simple lesson that most people have not learned yet?
Yep.
And people sway with the wind. I mean, people do like to be led, I think. I mean, that's what it seems like anyway. And I think that, you know, enough people on our side of the equation can influence the masses. We don't need every single person to quote unquote wake up. We just need to sway them over to our team to get them to see that, you know, we are on their side and that the people who are governing their lives are not. And then the masses will sway, I think.
Well, how many people actually fought in the American Revolution? 3% of the population, and they overthrew the most powerful military in the face of the earth?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then people say, oh, we need the masses to awaken. You don't need the masses.
Exactly.
The masses have never, ever made one iota of difference. The masses follow whatever leader you put in front of them, regardless of whether or not that leader leads them to greener pastures or a frickin' slaughterhouse. They don't matter. They don't make any changes themselves.
Yeah.
Very true.
It's always the small determined minority that make the difference. And this is what I've come to believe. And this is actually what gives me hope, that although I'm outnumbered by moronic slave scum, I can make a huge difference, because none of them are actually trying to make a difference. I am. And by the mere fact that I'm the one trying to make a difference, strangely enough, I will be the one to make the difference.
Absolutely. I remember once a long time ago, towards the beginning of my awakening, someone put it into perspective really well on some video I was watching. They said, if you really break it down, there's a few hundred, maybe a few thousand people who are really running the show at the top of the pyramid. Therefore, theoretically, all you'd need is a few hundred or a few thousand people to topple them, to be the solution to those people. That's all you need. It doesn't take everybody. It just takes the right, the right situation and the right minds aligning, and the populace will sway. They'll come back. Because people are good. I think generally, even though they are cheap or controlled or whatever, in their hearts, people are good. People are compassionate. People are empathetic. People want to help. And if we can just wake that up in them and bring them over to our side, we'll win. We'll win. Respect ourselves and respect each other. That would defeat the whole picture, the whole game.
I do think this is a very important realization. It's like Carol Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, is that, and what I take away from that, I haven't read the book, of course, what I take away from just the phrase, tragedy and hope, is that's America. That's America in a nutshell, isn't it? It's a tragedy.
Yep.
That's such a beacon of freedom, creativity, entrepreneurial spirit, tax-free status, has now become one of the worst police states on earth. Full of obesity and stupidity and scumbaggery. And yet, despite that, despite the overarching masses of problems that it's got, there is still hope. And while hope survives, hope springs eternal. There is nothing that you can do to extinguish that.
Absolutely. Yeah. The will to live, the will to know. We are born curious. We are born with imaginations. We want to create reality. We want to contribute. And that's what gets stifled by the system. But that's all inside of us when we're born.
Mm. Well, it's all BS. You know, every time they try to tell you, you can't make a difference, that's BS. Every time they try to tell you, hey, the masses will never wake up, that's BS. Every time, everything that they tell you to discourage you from doing the right thing by your people, by your nation, by the world, is BS. And it's once you realize that, oh my God, they're just liars. And it's the thing, because I've encountered a number of liars in my time, and at first you try to give them the benefit of the doubt, and they go, oh, maybe he just didn't mean it like that or something like that. And then eventually you start to get it. You know what? I can't trust a single fracking word that comes out of this guy's mouth. If he told me the sky was blue, I would have to look outside just to check.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's the mainstream media. That's the president. That's every single control structure. In fact, if it's part of an institution, this is my philosophy. If it's part of an institution and it has a stated goal or aim, it's basically the direct opposite of whatever that stated goal or aim is.
Absolutely. Doublespeak, right? That's 1984. Mm. 2 + 3 + 3, or
How do you feel about that?
I feel great, man. I just love it. I'm just swimming in admiration, and I'm just so comfortable. I love this system so much. No, it's a really frustrating situation we're in, and that's why we do what we do. I mean, we're trying to make, like we said earlier, unfunny situations, like the unfunniest topics out there, lighthearted, because we're showing that you can laugh at this stuff. And once you laugh at it, you are breaking down your own defense towards it. And it's easier to understand. It's easier to grasp. It's easier to take on and know what to do with it, even though it is daunting and intimidating and scary. You can just laugh, and then it's accessible. And then you can see that these scumbags who are threatening your very existence are just people. They're just people. They're frack heads, and you can overthrow them. They're just power hungry, greedy frackers.
Frackers.
Yeah.
Frackers with cheese.
Yeah.
And I think this is also another very important point as well, is just realizing who you're dealing with. You know, they're not gods. They think they are, but they're not.
No,
they bleed and they feel just like anybody else, apart from the psychopathic ones who actually have no emotions. And there's really little you can do to offend them. They're just all full of rage, hate, deception and just infinite scumbaggery. And people make the mistake of thinking that you're dealing with somebody who's like a normal human being. They're not normal human beings, man. There's something deeply freaking wrong with them.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Is there something wrong with me? We'll be right back.